Well, it seems the government had been planning for a while to get the flavour of the big plan for planning out before Christmas. It was well flagged for weeks. We were told it was around 18 months in the drafting. And then when it finally arrived, there were still serious concerns about it. And that was only within the government itself. Jack, a certain irony about the Green Party lodging objections to a planning plan because there weren't enough opportunities to lodge objections.
That's true. And look, I think that unfortunately, from the government's perspective anyway, they're left with a bit of a mess on their hands. And what was supposed to be the kind of last pre-Christmas kind of set piece and the last set piece for the current Attorney General and one of the last things that the Taoiseach would do before handing over the reins to Leo Varadkar. And you end up in a situation where instead of having a kind of flagship piece of really kind of meaningful and fundamental reform of the planning system, which I think most observers would agree on some level is necessary, you have a situation where parts of the government are now in open disagreement, if not in open conflict with each other. They're briefing against each other. There's a good degree of acrimony and backbiting. And I think the only saving grace, looking at it again from the government's point of view, is that they have the chance to do a bit of a kick for touch on this and wait for Christmas to come and go and this process of pre-legislative scrutiny to kick in, where hopefully some of these problems can be thrashed out.
Is 18 months of the AG's work not a level of pre-legislative work that should have ironed out some of this, maybe?
18 months of the AG's work, and also a period of probably a year or more where these interventions, which have become so controversial, have been heavily trailed in the newspaper. I think that I've seen the idea of circumscribing or narrowing the scope of who can take a judicial review reported on the front page of every single newspaper, many of them several times. So, I mean, you know, it's surprising to me that people are surprised by this. And talking to people across government today, I was talking about the degree of backbiting and acrimony. You know, people in Fianna Fáil are saying, the Greens, how can they come out with this at this stage? There were multiple briefings about this. You know, there is a very strong suspicion here that the Green Party is reacting to a negative reaction from some of the environmental non-government organisations that came out and trashed this plan when it emerged yesterday. And as I say, it's a bit of a mess. And you know, you're left in a situation where this big set piece is kind of it's not falling apart, but it's certainly undergoing a major wobble. Not a government threatening wobble. I don't think we should lose the run of ourselves. This is not a kind of full blown political crisis, but certainly it's a very uncomfortable moment.
Right. And just before we get to the rest of the panel, as you say, serious reservations from the Green Party, and then it hits the floor of the Dáil and we hear phrases from the Social Democrats like the last shards of credibility of on board Planola going up in flames, a sledgehammer being taken to it. Give us a flavour of what was being said today.
Yeah, one of the phrases that I thought was most resonant and stuck with me was Catherine Murphy saying that if the Greens stick with this, they'll be signing their own political death warrant. Now, I think that might be taking a little bit of poetic license. I'm not sure too many people will be thinking about planning when they go to fill in their vote at the next general election, but nonetheless, it does get to the point that this is making the Greens very uncomfortable altogether, you know, and that, you know, this is now transformed from you know, something that could have been a win for the government to a position where I had someone on the Fianna Fáil side text me today saying we've taken defeat from the jaws of victory, and it's just an open goal for the opposition at World Cup time.
All right, Lorraine Clifford Lee, bad planning on the planning.
Look, I don't accept that. This has been a long time coming, as Jack outlined there, and the country's leading experts were drawn together and produced this plan. But we're operating in a parliamentary democracy and we have a three-party government and we're all allowed to have our own independent thoughts, and we'll be going to pre-legislative scrutiny like every government bill does, and that's part of the process.
And what's
as well.
Your own independent thought on this? What's your top
My
concern?
Own independent thought is that, you know, I want to see more about the scope being narrowed. I would have concerns, like currently, for example, local authorities can bring a judicial review, and that appears not to be included. I don't have the exact details on it yet because we're still waiting for details to be filled in, and I'm sure the minister will be engaging with my own party and other parties across the Oireachtas to fill in things like that. So it's definitely a welcome step. Everybody has been saying for years that our planning system needs to be upgraded to allow for housing to be built quicker, to give communities certainty with timelines, because I often speak with constituents and, you know, they might have concerns about, you know, various things in the constituency, and they always say, well, how long is this going to take? And I can never give them a proper answer. So this is going to streamline that and put legislative deadlines in place as well, which everybody will have to stick to. So it'll be far easier for renewable technologies, things that we need to rapidly upscale in. Okay. It'll be far quicker and better for the country.
Mick Barry, your top concern about this, seeing as everybody's in the business of airing concerns about this at the moment.
I have a concern that the way in which this has been framed, because the way in which it's been framed is that this is absolutely key in order to tackle the housing crisis in this country. And there are some issues around planning, which are particularly relevant to the housing crisis. But there's 75,000 apartments with planning permission already given for them that have not been built and that are not being built. Now, why? The private ownership of the development means that the developers are saying, OK, let's engage in a little bit of speculation here. We will get more money for what we build if we don't build it now. But if we hold back, we let the prices rise and we go for it in 6 months or in 12 months or maybe in 2 or 3 years' time, right? So there is an element of a smokescreen about this. Let's focus on the residents' associations who are objecting to the planning application because they don't like the way that the roofs are going to be slanting against the sun. This type of argument that's put forward. Whereas the real issue is, what about the speculators and the property developers, and why are the government not going after them? Well, they're not going after them because they're cheek by jowl.
Oh, well, that's right? Completely uncalled
cheek
for.
Cheek by jowl.
I think, in fairness to the minister, that he's always said that this is just one part of the overall jigsaw. And he's made several different moves to combat that land hoarding and speculation, which I would agree with. Like, I know in Dublin there is over 40,000 apartments that the planning permission has been granted for, and they're just sitting on it.
All right, well, let's go to get Paul Donnelly. What's your concern about this particular plan, insofar as we know what it's about at all?
And that's probably the main issue, is that we're only speculating on what we think is in this. But from what we have seen so far, some of the concerns would be particularly around the makeup of On Board Pleanála, about the powers that the minister has given himself to appoint people. That, for example, some of the civil servants, public servants, would be nominated onto this and then on a temporary basis to fill spaces and maybe go back into the departments. That would have some concerns around it. Again, I'd agree with Mick. You know, the idea that planning is fundamentally stopping the building of houses is wrong. As I said, we have tens of thousands of planning applications that have already been approved and have not been built on. We have, in my constituency, we have George Fields, which is a major development by the local authorities, which started in 2017. And we have about 200 or 300, there's about 1,000 units to be built on that. We have about 200 or 300 built at the moment, social and affordable housing. But most of the problem has been around funding from the Department of Environment. So, you know,
funding has not been.
Well, just the Construction Industry Federation wrote today, and they were saying the number of homes being held up in judicial review or on Board Pleanála was 2 years' worth of housing supply. This is what their representative was saying, Conor O'Connell, earlier on Morning Ireland. He said they're not drip feeding properties onto the market. He described that as nonsense. He said from inception through to planning, right through to the connection and compliance post the planning, it can take years.
Colin, can I just point out on that, and the disastrous SHD system that was introduced by the last government, I think a lot of those judicial reviews actually relate to that. 90% of SHDs that are judicially reviewed are successful. Now, I'm a lawyer outside of politics. I have never, ever come across anything that has had a 90% success rate at JR, which would show that the SHD system was completely, completely flawed from the very, very start. But luckily, the minister has actually stopped that system. So I don't think we're going to see...
Well, I think a lot of people have already said, even this morning, I listened on the radio, and they were talking about exactly that, that the limiting of resident associations and of groups...
But the SHD system is not...
Point,
will result in a similar similar situation to what we had with SHDs, that there will be actually more judicial reviews because of this legislation. So, I again, we're sort of talking in a vacuum here because we don't know exactly what it is.
And you mean that because people can't collectively take one as a resident association, there'll be more individuals taking it?
Yeah, absolutely.
They may be exposed to costs now, though. Well, I know there's cost-limiting factors that have been trailed, and again, to repeat ourselves yet again, we have 22 pages of a briefing document,
of course, but one,
relating to a 600-page draft. I think part of the problem here, though, as well, is that, like, you know, it's politically convenient for the government to say, you know, planning is the bogeyman. It's equally politically convenient for the opposition to say, you know, the government is conducting a smokescreen operation here. There was outside commentary on this today as well. We had the OECD report that we'll probably talk about earlier on, that has a special chapter on healthcare, but they picked out the planning system as well.
But it wouldn't go into the specifics of how it wanted streamlined.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't exactly go into those specifics. I mean, I find it hard to believe that planning is not one of several factors, whether it's financing from the state or financing, or the apparently new inability of the private sector to finance a lot of the developments that are stuck at that planning permission stage that Mick talked about.
I think there's particular difficulty around actually finding the funding to build blocks of apartments, because of course they cost an awful lot of money to build, and they have to be financed in its totality and can't be occupied until they're completed, whereas like a housing estate can be done in phases. And I think developers find it a lot easier
There's a big issue here.
But if I could just finish that point, I think there's a really big gap there for the state to actually step in and provide the funding to complete those.
Mick Barry.
Well, this is precisely the point. I mean, at a time when we have the sharpest housing crisis in the history of the state, we have the news coming at us now that in the 3 months running up to the end of October, that commencements of apartments is down 29%, and that commencing of housing is down 23%. Now, how do you dig your way out of that hole? The Tánaiste is saying, the way in which we do it, is you've got a problem here that's been caused by the capitalist market, and the way in which you deal with it is you give more money to the developers by giving them tax breaks, right, and extra incentives. And that is absolutely not the way to go.
What if it works, though, Mick? In fairness, you know, this is a fairly massive, as you say, acute housing crisis. Should all tools potentially at the disposal of the state rather than the government not be considered, including tax breaks? I mean, like, why rule something out on the basis of ideology?
Because that Einstein said that the definition of insanity was when something isn't working, to keep trying doing the same thing. And the housing...
You're not making sense, Mick. You're really not. Can develop my point.
You can develop it in 30 seconds and then we'll go back to the rest of the panel.
So the housing crisis has been caused by a reliance on the capitalist market. And what Varadkar is saying is let's go for even more reliance on the capitalist market. The solution is to say no. The for-profit operations have not delivered the housing. What we need is
that to suggest there are no social crises in countries where the state dominates the economy?
No, it's not to say that at all. But it's saying very clearly in this case that the market has been dominant in relation to housing for the last decade. It has failed on a whole number of fronts, and we need to take a radically different approach based on housing not for profit, but for people.
All right, Paul Donnelly.
I was at a recent briefing with DCC and this very issue came up around apartments, and particularly apartment blocks that are not being built, you know, planning permissions in place. And DCC have stepped in and they're working with the developer to fund those developments. So it can be done. And it is being done.
And the state is funding DCC to do that.
We need to ensure that all of those tens of thousands of apartments that have been approved are funded. And we can do that. And we've always called for a massive funding by the state.
Housing for all is the biggest multi-annual budget for social housing.
This will not be where the market then gets a tax break and then creams off the profits and sells off to individuals. Then,
you know, Mick and his colleagues on the left were slamming the government's Croí-Cónaithe scheme, saying that it was very generous and you're giving generous tax incentives and other breaks for property developers. And as it turns out, that we didn't have enough people applying because it wasn't financially good enough for them. So, you know, I think you're kind of shooting yourself in both feet there, Mick. Oh. When you're making those kind of points, you're not making sense.
Give
them
more. That's the line from the government.
At the beginning, Mick,
but we have to deliver a full mix of, it's not just social and affordable
housing.
But
on the issue of planning, Mick Barry, you did say at the beginning that it's not that you're saying there's not issues with the planning system. So what are the issues with the planning system as you see it?
I think that there's issues with the legislation that the government are bringing forward. There's issues with the idea of the minister appointing to on board Planala. There's the question.
Would you favour local authorities having more CPO powers?
I favour local authorities. Yes, I do favour local authorities having more CPO powers. The issue of dereliction is in Dublin, in Cork, in the big cities, not just the big cities. It's a really major issue.
So you could support
in
that part of
that.
The bill if it comes
in. What I'm not in favour of, which is part of the legislation, I think, is the idea that with Part 8, which this will relate particularly to green space in communities, particularly in working class communities, the idea of every corner of green space being used for housing developments in areas where there is a need for facilities and green space for young people. We saw this in Cork City Council in the last city development plan, and the idea that local communities and community associations...
That's not being proposed.
I think it is being proposed.
Do we have the detail to know it's been proposed?
We need more detail from the minister.
There was questions
being asked in the Dáil today, and the minister was quite vague in terms of.
I know that
that's
something
that
the minister
that was
certainly
provided.
Wouldn't stand
just
over.
In terms of
certainly
the practice,
not.
We'll just let Lorraine come in, and I'll come back to you, Paul. Yeah.
That's something that the minister certainly wouldn't stand over, and Mick is not.
Why the
being
change
accurate.
To the Part 8?
Mick is not being accurate there.
But why the change to the Part 8?
But you're just speculating. And I know the minister very well and I know my party very well. And that's something that we would absolutely not stand over. Well, we've always supported green space and community space.
I think there is a concern around the fact around the changes to Part 8. When you invest the power in a very small number of people, whether it be planners within local authorities or the chief executive, to basically look at every piece of land that's owned by local authorities. What I understand of the actual plan is that it's land that has already and only been zoned as residential. I don't see how it's going to massively speed it up because the Part 8 process takes about 20 weeks. A lot of the times when you're doing a Part 8 process that the planning, the architects, all of the design is done alongside the consultation process. It doesn't. I'm not really sure how majorly effective that's going to be.
I do want to go to the ministerial appointments to on board Planala. Appointments to boards, Jack, often not really gone well for the ministers concerned. If you think back to ministerial appointments like John McNulty to the board of IMA, which allowed him go for a Shannon's run and may have benefited him, although he subsequently desisted from that. It wasn't great for IMA, and so ministerial appointments to boards aren't necessarily a good thing.
No, I agree. And like we have not been served well by planning, by building standards and by development in this country over a period of many decades. And part of the reason that we have kind of set up the planning and development system in the way that it has been set up is to kind of ensure an element of checks and balances over political power and how political power interacts with the planning system because of all the corruption that went on there in the 1980s and so on, which is well established and has been the subject of tribunal findings. Obviously, there have been, you know, controversies on board Planala, and there's question marks over how that body operates as well. But like, I think that there is a rational and reasonable concern over the prospect of political appointments directly to these positions. Now, I would just put a small proviso on that I think what is being suggested at the moment is that these would be temporary, and it remains to be seen whether the power of political appointments would remain once the kind of once the new bill comes to pass in January. But again, it's one of those things that we don't know because we haven't actually seen it.
Jack hit the nail on the head there. We don't know yet what exactly is being proposed, but my understanding is it's going to remove the nominating bodies who have their own procedures. And it's to streamline it, and there is going to be a competent, independent body that will be making recommendations to the minister.
And is there not a better arm's length way of doing it?
Well, this is like a, you know, a similar way to the appointments that are made to many other state bodies, and recommendations are made to the minister, and it's up to the minister then to either accept the recommendations or not. But the temporary appointments are going to be very, very temporary in nature. We all know that there have been problems with On Board Planola. We need to have more people there to deal with it. There's incredible backlogs there at the moment. And I really feel that we won't be going back to the days that Jack spoke about there, and we will be moving to a completely streamlined and independent decision-making process.
One of the positive things that I heard, which I think would be really positive in the new legislation, would be timelines. So if we have specific timelines that we know that has to be upheld. But here's the problem, that if you don't properly resource On Board Planola, or the new board, I can't remember what the new board is called.
Commission Planola Board.
If you don't properly resource it, then all of those timelines will fall by the wayside.
Well, the minister has indicated he's absolutely...
Yet as
but
well,
it's not
you know?
Properly resourced. And the Minister for Finance has said that there is zero extra funding for the new board next year. So we can put all the timelines we want in. If you don't put the resources in to make sure that they meet those timelines and those deadlines, then we're back to set to square one.
I could be pretty confident in saying that the extra resources will be.
The Minister of Finance said there was no extra money.
The appointments issue, Mick Barry, any concerns in that direction yourself?
Yeah, I think that the Minister had the appointment rights up until, when was it, 1983? Hmm. And there was a change in the law at that time. And the change in the law didn't come about for no reason at all. You had the interconnection between politics, particularly Fianna Fáil politics at the time, the big developers, right, and the planning operations. You know, major grounds for concern without going into all the details on the programme here tonight. And I think the idea of direct ministerial appointments onto Board Planola is not a step forward.
And
I think it's a step
the
backwards.
Presence of kind of ethics legislation and freedom of information and freedom to freedom of access to environmental information, none
so
of that transparency.
What do you suggest,
Mick,
that you know, not make the temporary appointments?
I think the idea of direct ministerial appointments to Board Planola is not a step forward. It's a step back. And I think there's a reason why we moved away from that in the past, and we should remember that.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to be back. We're going to look at the cost of living next, which is not unrelated to this. And we'll be hearing from somebody who's had a first-hand view of just how critical this has got in the last while.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.